A reading from the Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "Amen, I say to you, it will be hard for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to pass the eye of a needle than for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and said, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For men, this is impossible, but for God, all things are possible." Then Peter said to him in reply, "We have given up everything and followed you. What will there be for us?" Jesus said to them, "Amen, I say to you, that you who have followed me in this new age, when the Son of Man is seated on his throne of glory, will yourselves sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has given up houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for the sake of my name will receive 100 times more and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last shall be first." The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. There is no arguing that these 7 verses are saturated with spiritual wisdom. Such is the gospel. Like the disciples in verse 25, we are astonished over and over again as we listen to Jesus and the way he thinks, realizing he is telling us what he is telling us as an invitation to think and therefore act like him. Amazing. How do we get there? Well, on our own, it is an impossible task. But with God, all things are possible. A gifted theologian suggests we imagine the spiritual wisdom of the Gospels as a massage. The massage works on our minds in such a way that they can open and receive the Holy Spirit from God and release that same spirit into the world. Peter's question reveals the state of his mind and how far it is from Jesus' mind, the mind of Christ. And Peter seems to be saying, "Okay, Lord, this rich guy walked away. He can't do what you asked, but we have, haven't we? So what do we get? What do we get?" Jesus replies, "Thrones, you will receive 100 times more." Fair enough. Phew. Peter must be pleased. We certainly are when we read this. I mean, fair is fair. But wait. Jesus' last words here shift, and the massage changes. There is not the expected massaging stroke of gentle. No, it becomes a deep muscle massage, the kind that bears with it a surprising initial ache. Ouch. But many who are first will be last, and the last shall be first. Ew. There it is again. Christ revealing the inadequacy of our comparative thinking when it comes to the mind and heart of God. Fairness, unfair, they are transformed forever by gratuitous love. Yikes is right. There's a whiplash with these words. What? First is last? Last is first? Yes. Christ consciousness, God consciousness, seeps into our minds in fits of starts and stops. And Jesus' words are massaging the deep layers of tissue where our ego hides, where the deep sense of unfairness roots itself, where the worldview of abundance, God's worldview, is snuffed out with our worldview of limited, scarce, only so much grace, there's only so much mercy, there's only so much forgiveness, there's only so much generosity, only so much love. Dare we give God our whole minds, our whole hearts, our whole strength? Dare we? Should we do so? In God's tender, strong hands, we are being massaged into the mind, heart, and strength of Christ. Then dare we not? Giving God our all, our whole mind, heart, soul, strength, opens our inner self to grow strong so that Christ may live in us and God's own spirit be released into our world, healing, bringing to wholeness all that is separated and fragmented. Dare we not? Go ahead, you who are love. Go ahead, you whose mercy knows no bounds. You whose gratuitous love and mercy dwarf our limited concept of fair and unfair. Sign us up for a full body massage.